On Clutch Radio, this is Kickoff with Neil Simons and Michael Thompson.
Very good afternoon to all our listeners on Clutch Radio. We've got a bit of a jam-packed show. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson with you. Neil, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, mate.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Looking forward to chatting about the Matildas. We've got to do our previews as well, the next four teams, which are looking good. And the news as well. It's funny too, because we're going to do MacArthur as part of our previews. However, there's been some news bubbling around MacArthur the last 24 to 36 hours, which has sort of turned a little bit of heads in regards to, you know, two former Socceroos, one in Adam Federici and one in Mark Milligan. But stick fat with us for that one, because I'm looking forward to chatting to you about that one.
Of course.
We've also got Tom Williams to join us from Kick360s. One of your gun riders. I absolutely love his Twitter account, and I love his articles too. He's got a Marco Rojas exclusive too. So after you've listened to this show this afternoon, definitely head over to kick360.com.au and read that, because it is a good little light read for your Sunday afternoon. And Leo James is going to talk everything NPL SA as well. So I'm looking forward to it. But we're going to start with the Matildas.
Of course. The Matildas performed so well. I think they're in a very good position as a football club. And... well, national team.
Yeah.
I think they're in a good position now, because they've obviously got the win against a very high-ranked opponent at home, 3-1. It's all smooth sailing in terms of that. And I think, moreover, it's really emblematic of the resilience that they have. Gustafsson, questions have been raised about him, but I think he got it right last night. And, you know, you can't really follow his ambition. And if he gets a result on Tuesday, then I think we'll be in very good stead for the Asian Cup next year.
Absolutely. We still got a friendly in Saudi Arabia before the Asian Cup, I believe, for the Matildas?
That's Australia.
That's Australia. Okay.
They're playing. It's not actually a friendly. It's a do or die.
Yeah.
Well, World Cup qualifier.
But
that's obviously coming next month. So we might have that game at Combank Stadium.
Combank Stadium.
All these name changes for these stadiums are just doing my head in.
And the Women's Asian Cup coming up in January too, which we'll cover quite extensively as well as we get into January and February next year, Neil, too. It's going to be good to see them get that momentum heading into the Asian Cup, and then ultimately in 18 months' time, Australia and New Zealand hosting the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, and I think it's really important for the Matildas to know that they're in a position where they can succeed very well at the Asian Cup. Obviously, we touched on last week the extensive allegations against, or historical allegations for players within Australian national team setups, and I think... not many people are talking about how they've stayed focused and, you know, stuck to the pitch. And I remember seeing Tony Gustafsson's pre-match press conference when he brought out the whiteboard. You know, it was this is the external pressure, and it's got a weird accent. It's like Swedish, but he's also American, and I don't know. But he's talking about how the external pressure will put attention on the team, which they have to, you know, sort of utilize and make sure that they, you know, galvanize and get into a position where they can actually succeed. And he said this is going to be the same for the Women's World Cup in 2023. So I think for Tony and for the side, it's a really good victory. And also, they were really sharp. Mary Fowler especially was fantastic. Kyra Cross,
she's going to be a star.
Yeah, in a six role, she was just killing it. And she should be in the frame for a big European move, you'd hope, after this A-League women's season. But, good to see Briley Henry get a debut as well for the Matildas. Good to see her get in amongst it. But, yeah, there are youngsters coming through. Sam Kerr had a relatively quiet game, but 3-1, can't complain.
Nope, not at all. Van Egmond also had a really good game as well. And the one thing, too, that the Matildas were excited about, too, was just shy of 16,000 at Combank Stadium last night. It was good to see fans back.
Yeah, good to see fans back. And... There were reports within the media there'll be a net around the ground just to stop the ball going into the crowd, but that never happened.
No,
so, it was really good to see, and fans back in the stadium, and hopefully the players can interact with the fans after the game once this old COVID stuff blows over. But it's just wonderful to see all these things happening. And of course, you know, Sydney went on lockdown not even 2 weeks ago, and we've already had a game with almost 15,000 fans, which everything's coming in quick succession, which is really important.
It gives us faith here in Victoria that we're going to get to enjoy the riches of what Sydney are gained right now.
Does riches translate in the form of a FFA Cup match between South Melbourne and Melbourne City on the 12th of November?
We're looking forward to what?
It's the 24th now, so in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Less than 3 weeks.
We're going to enjoy just sort of covering that.
You're going there.
So are you.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'll be flying back that day, so we'll see what happens.
So fingers crossed you can actually get in. So I know that South Melbourne have released a statement saying that they are welcoming fans back. However, you could be fully vaxxed.
That's no surprise there.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be too much apathy there, you'd hope at least.
No. Well,
I mean, 80% of the population is basically vaccinated, so I don't really see...
94% now have got their first dose. We're going to hit 90% before November 12 as well. I think we're going to hit it, I think, the 7th or 8th.
No reason why they can't have full capacity, to be honest. It's a bit difficult for the government to obviously forecast these things, but I think there's meant to be an easing announcement. As this goes on air at Clutch Radio, it would already been announced, but... Yeah, there should be an easing announcement today, I think.
More easing of restrictions, that's for sure. And the riches that will be gained here in Melbourne for that one.
I'm
also looking forward to seeing games back in the FFA Cup, playing the Tassie, the Victorian portions as well.
Yeah, I think it was... Is that Devonport versus Avondale? That's the game that they're playing there. And I will touch on this for the NPL. They can't sign players for the FFA Cup... Specifically, South Melbourne's squad is decimated.
Yeah.
You know, Henry Hoare's gone. A lot of those other players are gone. They try to sign Niall Bonata. They've signed Andy Brennan, I think, as well. All those deals have gone through for next season, but they can't use them for the FFA Cup. So that squad's going to be largely depleted. And you've also got Melbourne City, who are also going to be depleted, theoretically speaking, because McLaren, Naboo... And Curtis Good and also Matthew Leckie might all be called up. So then you also have a very depleted Melbourne City side.
Yeah.
But then obviously you got the depth. You got like Tilio and Stefan Kolakowski and those players. But
good signing of Marco Tilio, by the way.
Yeah, Tilio re-signed with the club.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Good re-signing of him.
Very good. Yeah.
It's almost similar to when Melbourne City lost a couple of their key players in the A-League Grand Final because they were on Socceroo duties too.
Yeah. I wouldn't really compare that to... a South Melbourne clash in the FFA Cup, but honestly, if this could be like this could be the most attended FFA Cup clash between an NPL and A League men's side since I'd say Heidelberg versus City, back in the day, which was massive. And I love to see the Victorian. Well, I love when the Victorian teams come up against A League sides as well, which is really good.
So we're going to see hopefully more of that the weeks to come as well here in Melbourne, which is really good to see. And for our Clutch Radio listeners who are enjoying a bit more freedoms, whether they're listening in Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, Tassie, they've enjoyed a lot more freedoms than what we have.
Tassie out of lockdown, yeah?
Yeah, they've been out of lockdown for the last couple of days too, which is good to see.
Fantastic. Good to see. Good scenes.
Very, very good scenes. We'll take a short break here on Clutch Radio here on Kickoff. We'll be back with more. Tom Williams to join us very, very shortly. We're also going to be talking to Leo James. And we're also going to get stuck into the four team previews as well. So we're going to do today the Wanderers, Wellington, MacArthur and Adelaide United. And looking forward to talking more with Neil about the scenes between Anna Federici and Mark Milligan. So stick with us here on Kickoff on Clutch Radio.
Listening to Kickoff on Clutch Radio.
You indeed listen to Kickoff here on Clutch Radio for Sunday afternoon here on with Neil Simons and Michael Thompson and the previews now, Neil. Where do you want to start?
We'll start with Western Sydney.
Yep.
Just because they've added some players.
We had Pat Bruschetto on last week. He did a fantastic job sort of going through the inner crux of what to expect from the Wanderers this season.
Yeah, they've added Thomas Mejas, who's a goalkeeper from Spain. It was in the Real Madrid youth academies and also played his trade at Middlesbrough. Most recently had a stint in the Turkish second division. So it's interesting. Western Sydney, they've also in talks to sign Jack Rodwell, who you'd remember back in the day.
I do remember back in the day.
Yeah, he's moved to Australia and he might be signing with the Wanderers. Look, I feel as if they're in a position to make finals, definitely. If there's any season to do it, this would be the first.
It's all about consistency with the Wanderers,
I
feel.
Yeah, like they're stacked in, they're stacked across the board. I think defense, they've got Tass Bordakoutis, Ezekiel Gordon, and also Reece Williams, who's a brilliant player in his own right. Aquilina, Russell as fullbacks. You've got Steve Nugarkovic in midfield, who is one of the best midfielders in the A-Leagues. And Terry Antonis, Keanu Backus too, is a very serviceable young player. You've got Dibi Petrados, Tomer Hemed, who's my favourite player in the A-Leagues at the moment. No biases at all. Rami Nazarian, James Torisi, and Bernie Ibini too. So if I've missed anybody...
I don't think you have. I think you've sort of named the stack squad of the Wanderers.
Have I missed anybody? I'll have to check my phone and see if I've missed anybody. But still, like, this team should perform.
Yeah.
This team has to make finals. I mean, Carl Robertson has assembled probably their best squad on paper in years.
They need to do well here because they lost a lot of vital games they should have won last season.
Oh, yeah.
The Wanderers.
The victory one as well comes to mind when they lost 5-4. So, yeah. Very potent and very, fervently in my mind. Also, Adama Traore.
Yep.
He needs to be forgiven because he signed so early in the offseason.
I was going to say, with the Wanderers too, their fan base, you look at it, they like victory, they're proud of their club, but they're also very impatient too.
Yeah, of course, they have to be.
Yeah.
if you're not impatient, then are you a football fan?
Yeah.
I think that's a question, but this team should be making finals, and I'm under no illusions that they shouldn't do badly.
Yep, the next team we'll look at now is Wellington Phoenix. And
Lux.
We know that Wellington going to be moving to Australia just for the time being until the COVID situation over in New Zealand.
Well, they haven't even moved to Australia because I saw Red Episcopo on a bike, half naked, whilst driving in Port Melbourne this week. There's an exclusive for you, if you're listening. Nah, in all seriousness, he's just vibing. He's from Melbourne, obviously. He can't make the trip down to New Zealand, so he'll have to do his... He's done his preseason in Melbourne, I understand.
And I think New Zealand they want to get to... I think Jacinda Ardern came out during the course of the week and said that she's going to reopen the country fully when New Zealand hits 90% double dose. And I think they're not too far away from that either. So I think they're going to try and aim for at least mid to late November for that one.
Yeah, that'd be great. Which means that we might not even need the Wellington, A-League hub thing, which, it's better for us. You know, their squad's been decimated, though. I will have to use Wikipedia for this because I must say I'm not too acquainted with New Zealand football as other people are. But off the top of my head, obviously, Luca Purcio signed in the past week. They've also signed Matthew Bozanowski from the Melbourne Victory on loan.
Yep.
They've obviously picked up David Ball once again. Sorry, Gary Hooper once again, my apologies. Obviously, they've got the aforementioned Leno Piscopo, who they have on their books. Luca Purcio, who we mentioned before, is a very good player. I was playing in the Croatian second tier. Nicholas Pennington, this one is interesting. He played, I think he's had over 100 appearances at the age of 22, playing for Olbia in the Italian third division. He's a 6 foot midfielder, could go. He's basically a box to box. He's gonna be really exciting this season if he gets game time. Louis Fenton, he's also had some stints in the NPL Victoria as well, hasn't he?
He did. He played for St. Albans a couple of years back. Louis Fenton did.
It's a Croatian club. It's not. No, you're right. 2011. Didn't even know that. Wow. What's his full name? Louis Fenton. Louis Ferdinand Puskas Fenton.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because he's Hungarian.
Not bad on the accent there either.
No. I mean, I'm...
On the pronunciation.
I'm Lithuanian, so there you go.
There you go.
They've also picked up Callan Elliott from Xanthi FC.
Yep.
And that's basically it. They've also signed Curtis Mogg and George Ott on scholarship contracts. But...
It's a very young Phoenix side.
Yeah, it actually is.
On paper, their range is between 19 to 24, 25. So there's a lot to...
Stephen Taylor retired, so I don't see this team making finals at all.
No, but it's...
I like Ufuk Talai, but he's been dealt paltry resources. But in saying that, they're going after players in January, which could be really crucial to their success.
Especially where they are in January as well.
Yeah. Definitely, especially if they can get players in the country without quarantine. Ooh, it's going to be a dangerous time to be an A-League fan. Obviously, last season, they were close, man. They were really close. Tommy Herbert obviously had that fantastic 10-game stretch in which he scored, I think, 11 goals.
They were a point off making finals last season, which is unfortunate.
I think we all will cast our minds back to that homecoming.
That brought a tear to my eye. I've seen the New Zealand fans back in the state, and that for Wellington to play their home game back in New Zealand.
Was it tears to your eyes when you saw them take their shirt off in the 60-odd minute and just wave it around? That was great.
And also, it was good to hear Piney back behind the microphone too.
Oh, Jason Pine, mate. What a legend. If he's listening, just shout out to Jason Pine. He's one of the best in the business. New Zealand Simon Hill, as we like to call.
He's football through and through over there in New Zealand.
He's fantastic. He's fantastic. And hopefully to see Sky Sports New Zealand get back on the broadcasting train this season, that'd be fantastic.
It would be intense.
Well, I don't even know who has the rights this season, so Piney might not even be doing commentary, but I hope that could all be sorted out.
Hopefully.
It's a very Simon Hill situation.
I was going to say, hey, Network 10, if you want to do any New Zealand games, sign Jason Pine. He could be your New Zealand commentator.
That production will be made by the New Zealand-based contingent there, so it won't necessarily be made by Network 10. By the way, I know we're obviously going off track a lot with, we obviously talked about the Matildas just before, but Network 10's presentation, this is their first production of a football match. Obviously, they've done pre- and post-match shows, but my word, it was fantastic.
They're really putting a lot of time and effort into this, which is great to see.
Yeah, Tara Rushton was great too. There was a moment in which I think
I did see a tweet last night on how you were praising the
I muted the tweet notifications because they just kept coming through. I'm so popular. Nah, I'm just playing. But yeah, I did see one moment in which Grace Gill like was turning to Tara Rushton to speak.
Yeah,
when you've done TV broadcasting, you meant to like look at the camera. But
yeah,
this will all be all ironed out very soon. And yeah, to see Tom Samani was there too, so that was really good. Andy Harper getting around it too. Which is fantastic. And Simon Hill and Yeoman Dell did quite well on commentary, and it's a really good presentation. But Jason Pine has to be picked up.
He does.
Who's next, Tomo? Who's on the team list?
Let's go MacArthur. There's a bit of news brewing as well. We did mention in the first
set. They made finals though. This is like, wait, never mind. We're going into the top six, aren't we?
Yep.
Mm.
36 hours. It's been interesting. The sudden retirement of Adam Federici, the sudden departure of Mark Milligan.
There's more.
There's more to it.
There's more to the situation, but there's also more departures I'm guessing will come soon. Ultimately, MacArthur have put themselves in a predicament in which expectations are very high this season. Tommy Urich, Danny De Silva, Ulises de Villa, who's a Johnny Warren medalist. You know, those players are crucially important to the growth and progression of the football club in Campbelltown. We may be getting a supersized cowbell, but ultimately these bust-ups with Milligan and Ante Milicic, it just isn't great for the club. Ante Milicic is one of the best tacticians in Australia. This really raises questions about his tactic. About his man management. Or maybe it's just Milligan being disgruntled. I think it's very difficult to sort of read a report and you take on one specific take. I think Milligan was very upset with his role. There was a reported succession plan in place for him to overtake Milicic when everything's all said and done. But yeah, he's regarded as one of the best young coaches in the country.
It's a shame too, because MacArthur actually have a pretty decent list to get behind too. Yeah. And they brought in some really good cattle for this season as well. I think the two players that stand out to me right away is they picked up Tommy Urich, who is going to make waves over for MacArthur, and also former Melbourne City White Ringer, Craig Noon.
Yeah, Craig Noon. Fantastic. And was he right? I think he played on the left last season, didn't he?
He normally plays on the right, though.
Does he actually?
He generally plays on the right, but I think he played on the left as a bit of a different way of playing his game last season.
Just take a look at this team. Like, Craig Noon, man. Like, Jordan Mutch, too.
Yep.
Oh, this team is so stacked. They should be making top six.
Jake McGing, who I don't mind.
Jake McGing, yeah. Don't know why he picked him out of everyone there. Susna, Jovanovic as well. Some good players that they've got. And yeah, I mean, they haven't really brought in the extensive list of foreigners in terms of like other foreigners from the league. They've really just gone in-house to sort of scout their list of foreigners, like Western Sydney have as well, with Adama Traore, who's technically a foreigner, and also Tom Mohammed as well. So yeah, this team should perform well, but they do not have a keeper in Australia, at least that we know of. Nick Suman's in the Oli Roos camp now. it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks.
They're going to need to sign at least someone who's actually in Australia, like maybe as like a replacement for the time being.
Vedran Janjinovic. He's injured, but, you know.
Once he's not injured.
Well, he's actually he's still on Western Sydney's books.
Yeah.
I think the insurance payments are coming through, hasn't it? But, yeah, no, it's great to see MacArthur getting around it. But, yeah, I think in all seriousness, the Milicic's issues need to be ironed out as soon as they can.
Yeah.
But hopefully that can get resolved.
Especially 4 weeks out from taking on Wellington in the first game of the new season too.
The 21st of November. Oh, very keen
so
for that.
So close. Now, speaking of teams that are so close from Victoria, we're going over to South Australia and talk about Adelaide United.
Probably yeah.
Wasn't the best segue in the world, but I'll be forgiven for that one.
Adelaide, man. Got a team, haven't they?
Yeah.
Isaias is back. They've also got Javi Lopez and Wande. Nick Ansell as well, who's done a good job for Victory in the past. And he's a bit injury prone. I think last season really saw it, to be honest. He was very in and out of the team.
Yep.
You've obviously got Josh Cavallo, who was a breakout star for them last season.
Kostandopoulos, who can't
play. He's actually not actually contracted.
Oh, really?
Nah, he tore his ACL in March.
That's why he did tear his ACL.
Yeah, tore his ACL.
But he was good when he was playing for Adelaide.
Yeah, he was good. I think he scored a couple of goals as well last season, which is great. Yeah, they've re-signed Jakobsen. They've obviously got Delian over their books. They re-signed... Well, they released and signed Dakota Oceansham. I'm not sure if I pronounced his name correctly.
They've also... putting a lot of faith as well. I know that Carl Veit's going to put a lot of faith in Kasuni Yenge as the number one centre forward for Adelaide United this season. Yes.
You can see he's an interesting player. He's very dynamic. He's very tall, lanky, can score goals too. His brother Tete, who was at the Jets, obviously performed really well under the stewardship of Craig Deans. And actually got to move to Ipswich Town in the English third tier, which is really good. And hopefully Cassini could follow his path. I'd love to see Cassini Yenge in the European League. But I understand he got offers knocked back from Poland as well. So, it should be interesting to see how Yenge performs this season and next season and beyond.
I know losing Jordan Elsey to Newcastle kind of hurts a little bit for them because he was very...
We may have broke that news, but...
But he's very solid, though. He was solid for Adelaide United, but he's a good asset for Newcastle.
Yeah, massive asset. And I think they're now going to trust in Jacob Trat and Nick Ansell to bring that out. So,
and bringing in someone like Nick Ansell, who's played at some of the top-tier clubs in the A-League too, he could bring that experience.
He's only played at one club.
Yeah, Melbourne Victory.
Yeah.
But he could bring that experience.
And the Bentley Victory. Greens on loan in 2012.
That's a top-tier club in Victoria, Bentley Greens. In the NPL.
Yeah.
In NPL circles, yeah, it's a top-tier club.
Yeah. But, I think it'd be interesting to see if Jakobsen or Timotheo get the start, but I think Timotheo should start.
Yeah. Well, Jakobsen's now 35, turning 36. Yeah.
Timotheo's my boy. He's one of the best passing centre-backs in the league, and I'll take that to the grave. George, if you're listening, good stuff, mate.
9th, 10th, do you think, for Adelaide United this season?
I'd say 8th or 9th.
8th or 9th?
I don't really see them making finals, to be honest. It really depends if Craig Goodwin and Stephen Moore can get fit, because they're not at the moment. And they look shaky in their FA Cup games, but I understand they're now playing a lot of preseason friendlies, which is really good.
That's really good to see. We'll take a short break now, because on the other side of this, Tom Williams is going to join us from Kick 360. He's got a Marco Rojas. He spoke to Marco Rojas during the course of the week, which is a really good read, so definitely get on that one, that's for sure. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson, more of Kickoff on Clutch Radio on the other side of this.
You're listening to Kickoff on Clutch Radio.
Back here on Kickoff for your Sunday afternoon. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson with you. And Neil, the one thing I love doing normally on a Sunday, normally joining for the episodes now, is that we are very lucky enough to have a few journos join us from Kick 360. None more than our next guest who broke the market, or he chatted to Marco Rojas in a little bit of an exclusive for Kick 360. It's a sublime article. If you haven't read it, go and do yourself a favor. Go and read that one. Follow him on Twitter as well. He is one of the best in the business right now. His name is Tom Williams, and he's joining us to talk everything Melbourne Victory. Tom, good afternoon. Welcome to Clutch Radio.
Very well, very well. Fine Melbourne morning out of lockdown, so very, very happy.
I'm assuming you're taking in the newer freedoms that we've been afforded.
Oh, absolutely. Love going down to my local coffee shop, grabbing a coffee, sitting down. It's very nice. It feels very liberating at this stage after not being able to do it for so long.
Absolutely. I think we're going to be discussing the Melbourne Victory today. Obviously, Tom, quite a tumultuous off-season for the club since Greg Bremner was sacked in May. I think actually it was actually April. My apologies. I should know. I was there at the press conference. obviously, about 12 signings, I believe. The likes of obviously Jason Guerrier, Stefan Nigro, Josh Berlante, Chris Economides,
Davidson,
Brendan Hamill, Jason Davidson, make up the Australian base players. I think there's a couple more. Matthew Spranovic, of course, and obviously the overseas signings consisting of announced this week, Francesco Margiotta, alongside Ryan Marcan, Roderick Miranda, and others. So, Tom, has it been a successful off-season for the Victory?
I think so, definitely. I think even if you look at the sort of vibe that's been emanating from the group, it's easy to see that Popovic has instilled a new sense, a new lease of life within this Melbourne Victory squad. Obviously, I recently spoke to Marco Rojas. It was a pleasure speaking to somebody with such great knowledge of the game. He was really well-spoken, actually. And he was just saying that the vibe in the group is just so different to what Bremner is. And that's no stain on Bremner and his tenure at the club. But I think Popovic has that unique man-management ability, along with his actual ability to coach both tactics and to improve players. But I think that man management's really important. And I think the players he's brought in are players that suit the way that we know he's going to play. Obviously, we know Popovic loves to get his team to be pragmatic and disciplined in defence. But we all know that Popovic also, he has this unique ability to get players to all play for him. And I think that's really important when you see guys like Economides and Davidson, even Berlante, who played with him at Xanthi. You've got all these players who've played under him before who are used to playing under that Popovic style. And then we've got a bunch of new foreign guys coming in. I know I'm massively looking forward to seeing guys like Roderick Miranda come in and shore up that defence. I think we haven't really had a commanding centre-half at the back since we lost Del Piero a few seasons ago. We've had a few come in that haven't really performed as well as we'd hoped. I had high hopes for Tim Hoogland. He was injured a lot. Georg Niedermeyer was the same. Even Alan Barra was serviceable, but he wasn't really a Del Piero, whereas I think Roderick Miranda could be a huge player for Victory this season.
And Tom, Melbourne Victory, they've never really had a tumultuous off-season, quite like the last sort of 6 or 7 months that they've had. Was this really the kick in the butt that they really needed? That this is the reset that they really needed to sort of just refresh the club, bring the club around back, and try something new, similar to what, you know, we've seen with Melbourne City over the journey, when, you know, they were sort of in the same basket maybe 5-6 years ago, and they have been able to turn that around and become a powerhouse of the competition?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's exactly what Melbourne Victory needed, both on and off the park. Even if you look at the off-field structure, there's a lot of guys who have sort of left. You look at Trent Jacobs, the former CEO, Caroline Carnegie's come in and taken his role. So I think the club has really been shaken up from both on-field and off-field, which is honestly what it needed after the past couple of seasons under Marco Kurtz and Grant Brebner, where, to be frank, the performances simply weren't good enough, and the fans were in uproar, essentially. And it's important that we mobilise that fan base, get them back to Amy Park this season, where we'll hopefully be able to have a lot of people at the ground, and we'll be able to see that tangible sense of unity and of happiness to watch this team play again. Because even last season it was almost a chore at times to go down to Amy Park and watch the games when you knew you were going to get thumped. So I'm just looking forward to seeing everyone happy again and really getting around the team that we all love.
And also the one thing that both Neil and I have been talking about for the last few months as well is that the state where Melbourne Victory are training right now, because they're training essentially on a rugby field. They train with the Demons and Collingwood.
Hey, put some respect on it. It's a public park.
That too. But, you know, they're training with the Melbourne Rebels, the Demons and Collingwood. And is it time for... And I've been a big speaker of them setting up their office at Epping Stadium, because I think Epping Stadium is probably a good place for them as well. But in your opinion, where do you think Melbourne Victory should sort of set up their base and try and get out of that Gosh's paddock area?
Yeah, that's a very good point you raise. I think with Gosh's, it's been something that's had a lot of uproar amongst the fan base, particularly with the soft tissue injuries that have been suffered by players in the most recent seasons. If you look at last year, players like Robbie Cruz, Robbie Cruz couldn't get on the park in the 1920 season, really, under Marco Kurtz. Andrew Naboot even was really, really injured a lot that season. We saw what he could do for Melbourne City last season. Even like Georg Niedermeyer, Tim Hoogland, these guys couldn't even get on the pitch for Victory. So a lot of people were sort of blaming that on Gosh's. I'm not sure if that's like entirely accurate, but I can't see why it's good to have like professional athletes, especially ones from overseas who have trained in a lot of elite environments, come and train in a public park. But it's really difficult with this whole academy thing. I know Victory tried to get that site in, I believe, Maribyrnong, but it was signed off or not allowed to happen by the state government, I believe, because they wanted to keep it as a dog walking park or something.
Oh, no, that was in Footscray, hey?
Yeah, Footscray, that's it. So that was really bizarre. I guess if you compare what Victory have in Gosh's compared to City's football academy out in a Latrobe, I believe, it's like chalk and cheese, seriously. Like, City's elite environment that they've managed to establish there, it gives them a clear pathway from the youth for the youth players to get into the first team as well. And it's a really good elite training environment for them to all develop in. And that's something that Melbourne Victory have got to aspire to achieve in the coming years. And I think it would be very beneficial, both on a level of ensuring that injuries don't occur, but also paving the way for more young players to make the way into their first team. I think it's been a while since we've had a young player from Victory's academy actually come in and cement themselves in the first team. I think the last one was probably Thomas Deng, and I can't even remember what was one before that, to be honest. So that's something that a lot of fans would like to see, I'm sure.
Tom, just my last one from me. The Victory are in a very unique position with both their A-League men's squads and A-League women's squads retaining most of the players in the women's side. How important is it to improve the culture within the club and also for its fan base? The fan base largely disenfranchised as a result of the poor performances last season. Your perspectives on sort of encouraging fans to attend games, 15,000 members have signed on. What's the ceiling for that? And do you think that the glory days can return pending good performances?
Yeah, look, I think that's a great point. And I think Melbourne Victory fans are loyal. There's no doubting that. Even after the tumultuous season that we had last season, and even the season before under Kurtz, we've still got 15,000 members and counting that have signed up for this season, despite not really knowing what's going to happen with COVID, etc. I think that's representative of what the Melbourne Victory fan base is like. All these people want to see success on the park once again. Victory have high standards, and the last two seasons weren't good enough. In terms of the culture, I think the fan base has realised now that Popovich can really bring that joy and love for the game back for a lot of these fans. So I think if you see Victory start winning a few games, you'll see a lot of the fans start coming back. I'm not sure if we'll have those glory days this season or anytime soon, but I would not be surprised if we saw 20,000-plus people at Amy Park for a few games this season if Victory start winning some games. A lot of times it just takes a few wins on the park and you can get a lot of fans back, especially the ones who just want to see the team do well and partake in the wonderful atmosphere created by the Melbourne Victory fans at Amy Park this season, which will be phenomenal, given that we've ditched Marvel Stadium as a stadium that we play at now. So having every game at Amy Park will be a massive boost for the team, because it is our home ground and it is where we should be playing every game, because it has the best atmosphere, and it will be fantastic to see a lot of fans back in that stadium this season, I'm sure.
What's the pass mark for victory this season? Like, where do you think they should finish under their first season under Tony Popovich? And where do you think the victory fans, where do you think they see their team finishing as well? Because you could sort of see them finishing anywhere between 5th to 8th, I'd say, this season.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important that victory don't place too high expectations on themselves. After the last two seasons, it's always going to be hard to rebound. So I think, in terms of a pass mark, I think a lot of victory fans just want to see us play like good football. If we play good football and we make finals, I think a lot of people will be happy with that. I think this victory team is good enough to challenge for the title, though. If you look at the Australian contingent, we've got Chris Economides, Josh Brillante, Jason Davidson, Matt Sparanovic, Jason Guerriard. They're all players that have represented the Socceroos. So they're all sort of, even Economides is within the Socceroos camp right now. Davidson, if he has a good season, there's no reason why he can't at least get on sort of the fringe of the Socceroos camp as well. I'm sure Josh Brillante will be wanting to put his name in that hat as well. So if you look at that Australian contingent, we've built a really good core of proven A-League players within this team. And if you add Robbie Cruz and Marco Rojas to that, who have shown in the past that they can be good players at this level, then if they perform, then that's incredible. And that will be a massive help to Melbourne Victory. But perhaps the most important thing this season is we're not reliant on those foreign players. I think in the past, we've seen Victory build teams around the foreigners. You look at 18-19, Tonda and Ola Toivonen, and obviously the team was built around them. This season, it feels like the foreigners are supplementary to the Australian players, which is a similar way to how City went and won the title last year with their core of Connor Metcalf, Jamie McLaren, Curtis Good, etc. So the pressure isn't on players like Roderick Miranda, Francesco Margiotta, Ray Marchand and Ivan Kalava to perform really well. But if they do, there's no reason why Victory shouldn't be able to challenge for the title, especially given the amount of depth we've got across the squad. You look at Brimmer, Ben Falami, Nick D'Agostino, Brendan Hamill. There's so many players that are sort of good enough at A-League level that will probably be sporadic depth players this season. So I think pass mark, I'd say good football and finals, but I think there's nothing that will hold this team back from challenging Melbourne City and Sydney FC for the title.
Tom, it's been a pleasure chatting to you this morning. It's also been a pleasure reading your articles over the last couple of weeks too. Keep it up on kick360.com.au, and no doubt we'll be chatting over the summer, that's for sure.
Many thanks. Pleasure speaking to you this morning. Cheers.
Tom Williams from Kick360. You can read that Marco Rojas chat, as we mentioned, at kick360.com.au. He's a gun. He's an absolute gun.
The best there is in the business, mate. He's killing it, doing a really good job.
He's also, his tweets are really, really good too. So yes, Tom Williams poll, if you wanted to follow him on Twitter, it's good to follow.
Yeah, he's a very tactics guy. So yep. You'll see a lot of good takes, tactics and everything like that. But his articles are where the proof is in the pudding, if it makes any sense.
He's sure it does. He's got, as you said, it's a very tactical mind. He uses the tweets and all that. He's like a coach a little bit when he tweets.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, mate. And another great tweeter and great writer and MC and commentator in his own right is Leo James, who we'll be chatting to next on the NPL South Australia and more.
Keep listening to us here on Clutch Radio. Leo James on the other side of this.
You're listening to Kickoff on Clutch Radio.
You are indeed, and we're going to wrap things up now as we always do. And we haven't spoken to this guy in a very long time, but it's good to have him back. He's our SA correspondent for Kickoff. Lapped up, he's like a kid in the candy store over the course of the weekend. Got to MC, got to be part of all the festivities of the NPL SA Grand Final. His name is Leo James, and he joins us. Leo, welcome back to Kickoff.
Good morning, my now free Victorians. How are you?
Yeah, we're going well. It's good to be back at cafes, pubs, and restaurants around our state. So we get to live the life that you guys are currently living now, which is good to see.
Welcome back. Are you guys enjoying it? That's the first thing I wanted to ask you.
I am. I think I am. Are you, Neil?
Yeah.
Been back at coffees?
No. I've got exams coming up for university, so I have to say I haven't really indulged in that.
Very
so far.
Fair. Very fair.
But, yeah, in about 2 weeks, what I'm planning to do, I know I'm just going a bit off track here, But hopefully we can get I can get down to the Socceroos versus Saudi Arabia game in about 3 weeks' time. So that'll be pretty great. But obviously, Leo, a big week for football in South Australia, both in professional tiers and non-professional tiers. We had the NPL South Australia Grand Finals, State League 2, State League 1, NPL and NPLW. Just take us through that atmosphere, like how... Obviously, they've structured it in a way in which all the grand finals are in 1 week. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a full-on week, and we normally obviously play our grand finals from Cooper Stadium, but they've got some pretty hectic renovations on down there at the moment where there's no change rooms, there's missing grandstands, there's missing seats, and soon there'll be a missing pitch. So, unfortunately, we can't use Hindmarsh for the time being, and due to COVID, we can't have that many spectators across the four games in the one place at a smaller venue. So the only workaround is to obviously go State League 2 on a Wednesday night, State League 1 on a Thursday, NPL on a Friday, WNPL on a Saturday. But it was just crazy. I mean, the full credit to the Football SA team. I've never met a more hard-working team to be able to back up day in, day out. And, you know, these guys have been working since Monday when they've got under-18s and reserves finals on as well. So it's not just the first team finals on the Wednesday through to the Saturday. It's all the under-18s on a Monday, all the reserves on a Tuesday, and then you go State League 1 up to WNPL from a Wednesday to a Saturday. So hopefully that makes sense, but just an amazing week and just... The whole finals atmosphere, as you just touched on, was incredible. I mean, so much colour, and it was just so much fun to be a part of.
And you look like a kid in a candy store. Saw the photos up on your social media, too, up on Twitter, and you look like that you were just happy to be back emceeing and interviewing players pre- and post-game.
Oh, it was amazing, especially Friday night. I mean, yesterday was special up at Mount Barker. I'm not too sure if I've told you about the new venue up there, brand new, but... I mean, even yesterday for the WNPL, we had 1,700 across the whole day for three different games and plenty of W League talent on show yesterday. But just touching on that, I mean, Friday was just special. I mean, Martin, we had a Martin Sports Complex, which has obviously seen its fair share of FFA Cup magic over the past few years. And it's now kind of Adelaide United's A-League Women's team adopted home, and there was just under 3,000 people, and it was just mental, but it was just the most fun I've ever had emceeing. I think, I mean, like, when you look at it, we did the big screens on we did the lineups on a little big screen, and everyone was just getting involved, and I think everyone's kind of been craving that since the A-League men's competition has been missing as well. So just so much fun, everyone really got involved, and credit to Adelaide City. 11 years it's taken them to get back to that status. So, an amazing night, really.
And I think it really speaks volumes about South Australian football. I've obviously indulged in plenty of NPL South Australia and Adelaide United across the last year. I mean, I do have my loyalties to certain players who play in those divisions. But I think having seen the talent that's coming out of South Australia, especially within... both NPL circles, like Kurukuru really stands out to me as a fantastic, dynamic player who I believe has some European interest. And also Dominic Costanzo, who was formerly of Croydon Kings and has obviously made the move to Italy now. It's a really good time to be a football fan in South Australia.
It is. And I think we often get looked over. I mean, credit to Victoria and New South Wales. They're obviously pumping out, you know, an incredible amount of talent. But I don't think South Australians get a fair go in the A-League, and it's often, you know, that they'll go and make a name for themselves overseas, and then it's everyone's all of a sudden surprised that they were created, if you like, in South Australia. Obviously, Adelaide United does an incredible job with promoting youngsters. I think they're probably leading the country out of our A-League teams in giving young locals an actual go in that team, but we're a small state, we're a small team. We've only got one A-League team, one A-League men's team to for those opportunities to go to, and there's only a handful of spots in that. I mean, we don't have a youth academy. We don't have, you know, we've got the youngest team we have is an NPL and NPL reserves team. That's what, 40 players all up potentially, which isn't a whole lot. So, yeah, I mean, we're in a good spot at the moment. And when you look at exciting things on the horizon, like next year, the State Centre for Football will open up. It's just going to continue to get better and better, which is super exciting.
It's good to see the South Australia building like a football hub over there, and hopefully it becomes sort of like the third state behind New South Wales and Victoria to really give football over there in South Australia the coverage that it deserves.
Massively. I mean, we were all talking about it because obviously we've been hosting our kind of like Football SA events out of the Parks Football Centre, which at the time it was built, you know, was like a saving grace for, because we didn't have anything like that. And it's just grown, like the game has grown so much over the past 6 years that we have outgrown that place like no tomorrow. And we were all talking about it on Friday at Marden, just how good it's going to be, you know, like everyone was elevated up on the pitch. The amount of seats was perfect. And you know, the State Centre for Football is going to be pretty high tech as well. We were there with the LED screen, people talking about what we can do. And there's just a real sense of optimism, which is super exciting.
Absolutely. Well, Leo, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you again for joining us this morning. We might even try and get you on in a couple of weeks' time to do an Adelaide United review too, because you're probably the one person who knows the team inside and out, and maybe potentially Wellington as well, because that's another team that you know inside and out, and probably a lot better than what Neil and I do inside and out with both sides. So we'll definitely get you on in a couple of weeks' time. But thank you again for joining us this morning.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy the football.
Leo James joining us there for a quick chat about everything NPLSA, Neil. And before we wrap things up, what's to come on the Kick 360 website?
Plenty. Obviously, the Marco Rojas interview that you mentioned before. Also, a lot of other things in the realm of football in this country with John Aloisi speaking to us on his pre-season preparations. Daniel Sturridge has arrived at the club at the Perth Glory, and well, the Australian Cop are very excited. More on that coming soon, and plenty more on Kick 360 this week. And yeah, that's about it, Tomo. And
head to kick360.com.au for all your information that you need in the world of football. That wraps us up. We won't have a show next week. We're going to take a week off to sort of just recharge the batteries and get ready for full throttle, because in 2 weeks' time, it's all systems go, Neil.
Yeah, 2 weeks' time, all systems to go.
Because it'll be 2 weeks before the start of the A-League season. It'll be a few days, maybe close to a week before we see South Melbourne and Melbourne City. So we've got so much to
dissect. So much more to cover and more. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful off-season. And, well, season, heading towards the end of the off-season. There's also a big FFA Cup clash today as well.
Well, I was going to say off-season for the NPL, though.
True. There's also a big FFA Cup clash today between Lions FC and the Brisbane Roar. So, technically, the two teams... Lions FC were what the Brisbane Roar were called before they entered the A-League.
Yep.
So they've obviously reincarnated and they have that team, which they've still got the same history attached to the NSL and things like that. So that'll be very interesting if you guys want to watch that. That's at 4:30 Australian time today. So I'll be watching that, I reckon.
Absolutely.
CampbellJohnson.coms, who is a very good young commentator, I must say.
Praise the young commentators, that's for sure. It's going to be good to hear his voice as well. But that wraps us up. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Stick around. No, this is Clutch Radio. More content, more stuff still coming up here on Clutch Radio. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Bye for now.